VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. In just a few moments, we're scheduled to be joined by Rick Green talking about a very, very important issue that could totally transform this nation called court packing. He'll unfold that for us here in just a few moments. First of all, would like to make mention, as likely you heard the news as it was unfolding yesterday, this from WND.com, that with cities across our nation on alert, a Minneapolis jury did find former police officer Derek Chauvin guilty of unintentional second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. The prosecution argued that the iconic 9-minute video showed Chauvin made an ego-driven decision to remain on George Floyd's neck, refusing to give him aid or take his knee off his back and neck as onlookers pleaded with him. The defense asked the jury to take into account the 16 minutes of video from officer body cams that showed Floyd in a state of excited delirium, high-end fentanyl, and suffering from heart disease, constantly resisting arrest, declaring, "I can't breathe," while officers tried to seat him in the vehicle, then demanding they put him on the pavement. Chauvin's defense argued the officer's knee restraint was a procedure approved by the Minneapolis Police Department. Prosecutors contended the officer should have been aware that Floyd no longer needed to be restrained because he was dying. More than 3,000 National Guard soldiers deployed in Minneapolis, along with state and local police officers, sheriff's deputies, and other law enforcement personnel, to prepare for any reaction to the verdict. Chauvin's bail was immediately revoked. He was led away handcuffed. His sentencing is scheduled to take place in just 8 weeks. President Biden, Representative Maxine Waters in California, had advocated for the guilty verdict. Earlier on Tuesday, Biden said the jury should reach the right verdict, and the evidence is overwhelming, indicating that he believed Chauvin was guilty. This is as the jury was deliberating. Waters was attending an anti-police rally in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center Saturday night. While a reporter asked her about what would happen if Chauvin would not be found guilty of murdering George Floyd, she said, quote, "We've got to stay on the street. We've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business." Now, friends, could you imagine if President Trump had said that? Let me give that quote again. "We've got to stay on the street. We've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure they know that we mean business." Well, the judge in the Chauvin case, Hennepin County Judge Peter Cahill, rebuked Waters by name when defense counsel Eric Nelson brought up her remarks after the jury was sequestered on Monday. Nelson argued for a mistrial and saying, I just don't know how this jury could really be that they are free from the taint of this, Nelson told the court. "Now that we have U.S. representatives threatening acts of in relation to this specific case, it's mind-boggling," he said. Cahill dismissed Nelson's motion for a mistrial, but gave him hope for an appeal if his client is found guilty. "I'll give you that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned," Cahill said. "I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law and to the judicial branch and our function," the judge said. A Black Lives Matter social media influencer, Maya Eccles, issued a threat in a since-deleted TikTok video and mentioned, "Don't be surprised when buildings are on fire, just saying." So that verdict coming out yesterday afternoon. Also, yesterday, the House of Representatives voted down a resolution that would have censured Representative Maxine Waters with those comments. It was a party-line vote. Saw 216 Democrats reject the resolution and 200 Republicans back in it, or to back it. The members from each party, two members from each party did not vote. Now, if you had changed the name from Maxine Waters to Donald Trump, what would the vote have been then? Waters traveled to a Minneapolis suburb over the weekend, urged demonstrators to be more confrontational if they did not find him guilty, saying, "We are looking for a guilty verdict." The proposed resolution filed by Kevin McCarthy included most of Waters' remarks. It also referenced how Hennepin County Judge Peter Cahill commented on them in a courtroom, asking in part, "I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner disrespectful to the rule of law and to the judicial branch." Nonetheless, that has been now the decision has been reached. The sentencing will be coming out several weeks from now. So, folks, that's it on the that jury deliberation and trial that unfolded yesterday with that decision. And right now we're going to alert you to another critical matter that's taking place here across the nation. In my opinion, it's a coup attempt, a coup underway to take over the United States Supreme Court. That is, to intentionally expand the court in retaliation against a majority of justices that hold to the rule of law, that are originalists. That is, to take the United States Constitution for what it says. It's known as court packing or court stacking. One congresswoman has called this the scariest bill that has ever been introduced since she became a member of the House of Representatives. And ladies and gentlemen, the threat is real. Here to discuss the matter with us is Rick Green. Rick is an attorney. He is a constitutional expert, a former Texas state representative, and founder of the leadership group Patriot Academy. Thank you so much for joining us here, Rick.
Hey, Jim. Good to be back with you, man.
So the threat is coming from different fronts. One of them is from this presidential commission. The other is legislative. And we're going to begin with President Biden here in just a in just a few moments. But before we get to these measures, let's just understand the big picture of this, Rick. The packing of courts, this is really a play from the Socialist Handbook, isn't it?
No doubt about it. It's an attempt not to make the court more efficient or more effective in terms of justice. It's not about that. It's all about a raw power grab. This is literally to change the philosophy of the court so that Joe Biden's agenda, his socialist agenda, can be crammed through and there not be any constitutional check on it. What they are afraid of is that we might have a United States Supreme Court that might actually uphold the Constitution.
Yes.
And they want to prevent that from happening. So think about the number. I mean, they're even picking a number. They want to add four justices. Why? Because they know that there, on any given day, you might have six conservatives on this current Supreme Court, so that would outnumber them 7-6. Now, I'm not saying we have six solid conservatives. I don't think John Roberts is a conservative. Any one of the other five on any given day could do something that's not conservative. But in the left-wing mindset, there's a chance of six conservatives there, so they want to add four, which makes it 13, which makes it 7-6, and they can outvote the conservatives, the constitutionalists, at any time. It's a raw power grab.
You know, Rick, I saw the comments from this Congresswoman, Nicole Malliotakis, and she pointed out that Hugo Chavez packed Venezuela's court when he became president from 20 to 32 judges, and that tilted 45,000 rulings in his favor and thus destroyed a nation.
It's absolutely right. And you know, look, Jim, let's go back in history. I mean, we all know FDR tried to do this in the 1930s. And even Joe Biden said that was a bonehead move. That's what he called it. He said, could FDR do it constitutionally? Yes. And he's right about that. Article 3 in the Constitution does not set the number of U.S. Supreme Court justices. It's entirely up to Congress. They could drop it down to one super justice and get rid of everybody. They could bump it up to 300 and call it the Spartan justices. I mean, they could do that. But those extremes obviously would be bad, as is this extreme of adding the four. But it's exactly what FDR wanted to do in the 30s. And even the Democrats, his own party, stopped him from doing it because they knew it would destroy any trust in the court that the American people had. We already have trouble with that because the court has been doing things it should have never been doing. We've already got a real problem with not the number of justices, but the role of the court being unconstitutional lately. But if they do this, it's going to have to be the Democrats again that stop them. I was shocked at this. I didn't realize this. I had Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty on my program the other day, and they've got a great website, by the way, supremecoup.com, where they're covering this, because your word was exactly right. It's a coup. But he pointed out, and I went back and looked this up, and he's exactly right. Man, Jim, there were 76 Democrats in the U.S. Senate, and they stopped their own Democrat president from doing this. They could have easily pushed that through in the 30s, and they refused. So I'm hoping that even Democrats will stand up and say this is a bad idea. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said it was a bad idea before she died. Current liberal Justice Stephen Breyer says it's a bad idea. It is bad for the system. It's bad for the country. But the left is pushing their agenda, and the only way that they will be stopped is if we stop them.
Now, we have had nine justices, I believe, what is it, 1869?
That's right. Almost 150 years.
And it has served this country well for 150 years in that regard. But
yeah, actually 151. Yeah, oh. Yeah, 151 years. My math was bad there.
Well, it's hard to believe that there's such actual hatred for the original intent of our Constitution by those that are espousing this action.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it turns the court into even more of a political arm, which it was never intended to be. The founders talked about the fact that you don't make policy decisions at the court, that it's ill-suited for that, that it's not designed for that, that they're not held accountable by the people. All of these reasons why you wouldn't want to make policy decisions at the court. But we've been doing that for 50 years, and it's part of why they want to pack the court, because they see that as the place they can make policy, and that's just bad. From any perspective, whether you have 9 justices, 13, whatever, that's unelected, unaccountable lawyers in Washington, D.C. making law for 330 million people. And that's a bad idea no matter how you slice it. So we really do have to work on that part of it as well. But the reason they want to pack it right now is so that they can push a certain set of policies through. Mm-hmm. The same thing FDR wanted, right? He wanted his New Deal to go through. He wanted all these socialist policies to go through. And unfortunately, here's another thing, Jim. I don't know if you want to go talk about this or not, but the fact that even though they defeated the court packing, they intimidated the court enough that the court switched its position on the constitutionality of FDR's policies, and they started rubber stamping things that they had actually said just a few years before were unconstitutional. So we need to also pray and push that this Supreme Court does not get intimidated, that those 6 supposed conservatives on the court don't start backing off and rubber stamping, left-wing policies that are unconstitutional.
Well, there is a multi-pronged attack in all of this. And so let's talk, first of all, about what's coming from the executive branch. I mean, as running up to this election, it was then-candidate Biden, then-candidate Harris. They didn't want to talk about this on the campaign trail. They didn't want to address this in the debates. But it wasn't long, it hasn't taken long now, for all of a sudden this commission to be launched by the executive branch. What's happening on that front?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And there's a reason they didn't want to talk about it. They know how unpopular this is with the American people. They know that what they're about to do could cost them dramatically in terms of political seats. And that's what happened in the 1930s because they pushed it, even though they didn't actually get it through, because they pushed it, the Democrats lost a ton of Senate seats and U.S. House seats. And the same thing will happen here, they know, if the American people actually know what's happening. And that's why they don't really want to talk, even now, they don't want to talk about it much, they just want to push it through.
Mm-hmm.
And so they use the commission, because then they can act like, oh, this is a unanimous idea, this is something that everybody thinks is a good idea, which of course it's not. I will say this about the commission, though, just as a side note, the guy that they put as chair, Bob Bauer, he's actually somebody that I agree with something on, not most things, but the one thing I agree with him on, he actually agrees that we should have a constitutional amendment to set the term of federal judges and limit it, make it like 10 years, 15 years, so that you don't get this 30-year judge where everybody in the country goes nuts when it's time to appoint somebody because they know it's so much power in one person's hands. So that I actually agree with, limiting the time that somebody serves as a Supreme Court justice. I doubt the commission is going to recommend that, but that's just an interesting point.
We're going to take a quick one-minute break here on Crosstalk. Rick Green is with us today. We're talking about court packing and, folks, a threat to the U.S. judicial system. We're also going to be discussing, after we come back, information on some bills. It's been introduced in both the House and Senate to undo what we know as 9 justices on the Supreme Court. More on that in a moment. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how are stars formed?
Chris, evolutionists say that each star condensed out of interstellar clouds of gas. But think about it. How could this happen? Remember, space is a vacuum, and gas in a vacuum would be sucked out in all directions. How could this gas become so dense that it would collapse by its own gravity? The pressures pushing it out would far exceed the gravitational pressures inward. There have been a number of evolutionary suggestions to get the process started, but all of them start with stars in the beginning. They say that a nearby exploding star might send out a pulse of energy that would condense a cloud of gas, but the question is, where did the stars come from in the first place? Not how do stars in rare circumstances form other stars? The Bible says that God created stars on day 4 of creation week, and the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And folks, yes, our judicial system under threat. Court packing is the means by which it would come about, just like Hugo Chavez did it for the nation of Venezuela, totally transforming the nation. Do you want Venezuela as your model for the United States? That's the path we're headed toward on this socialistic mindset that is on the part of a growing number of legislators. Rick Green is with us today. He is an expert on the Constitution. He's a former Texas state rep, also an attorney, and has founded the leadership group Patriot Academy. Rick, let's talk about this legislative front, because bills have, they've been introduced, both the House and the Senate. They're calling it the Judiciary Act of 2021. I printed them off. It's one of the shortest bills ever written, less than two full pages when printed off in PDF. But its impact, Rick, I mean, this impact will totally transform the nation.
Yeah, and it actually, in their view, it's a chance to basically neutralize an entire branch of government. So the whole idea of separation of powers, of checks and balances, of being able to have, you know, if one branch thinks something's constitutional, but the other two say, no, it's not, that it gets overruled. I mean, they want to get rid of all that. They want a one lockstep government that is all signed on to this radical, I mean, and I always say socialist, but it's really a Marxist agenda. It's mm-hmm. that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're literally wanting to neutralize and wipe out the ability of the court to be a check and balance on the constitutionality of these programs. Yeah, you're right. It's so far reaching. I mean, it's cataclysmic. I don't exaggerate. I'm not into hyperbole. I mean, this is an existential threat to the liberty of Americans. And you have exactly the right example in Venezuela.
Folks, you recall when they passed Obamacare and the comments being made, I believe it was Nancy Pelosi, we need to pass it so we can find out what's in there. We know what's in there. I mean, that the thing was voluminous, and yet the impact that this legislation would have will totally transform our nation. The Judiciary Act of 2021 in the House, folks, you can write down this number, H.R. 2584. We're still waiting for a bill number in the Senate, but Rick, it's, in my opinion, it's imperative for people to get on the phone and talk with their congressman's office, to talk with their two senators' office in regard to these pieces of legislation.
Yeah, this is going to be an epic battle. They would have to have every single Democrat vote in the Senate, and with that, Kamala Harris have to break the tie, and they would have to go nuclear option and not, you know, kill the filibuster to do it. So they're going to have to move some big mountains to make this happen. But they have the will to do it. They want the power that bad, and so it is very possible that they do it. And you know, Jim, again, not to exaggerate at all, but if they do, there is only one way to reverse it at that point, and that is having an actual, the states have to overrule it. They have to use Article 5 with a constitutional amendment to set the number of justices or at least to overrule this particular act. And, you know, I'm a fan of that anyway, states actually stepping up and letting their voice be heard more often and using the power they have in Article 5 to overrule the federal government. We kind of tend to think, because of the Supremacy Clause in Article 6, that once the federal government does something, that's the end-all, be-all, or if the Supreme Court decides, mm-hmm. That's not the case. The Constitution does give the states the ultimate say. They just don't use that power like they should.
Yeah, and I know that's a whole program in itself, and there's debate on both sides of that issue. But Nancy Pelosi has given indication that she doesn't support this this measure of court packing. So does that totally remove the threat here?
Well, yeah. If she actually said no and didn't allow it to come for a vote, then it could kill it. Now, you know, she definitely is has a habit of talking out of both sides of her mask.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see whether she, you know, upholds that. But I would be shocked if she sticks with that.
April 15th, last week, Rick, there was a joint press release that came from Senator Markey, Representative Jerry Nadler, and Representative Johnson of Georgia, and Representative Jones of New York. And I'd like to quote some statements from this and have you respond
sure.
to what they had to say. Here's one statement. That they are advocates of this legislation. They say, quote, "This bill would restore balance to the nation's highest court after 4 years of norm-breaking actions by Republicans led to its current composition and greatly damaged the court's standing in the eyes of the American people." Counter that, if you would.
Well, yeah, my question for them would be, what specific actions were norm-breaking that the Republicans did? They did exactly what both parties have done for the history of the court. And when there's an opening on the court, you fill that opening. So it's more, you know, it's more of their rhetoric that's not based in fact. Truth does not matter to these folks anymore. Mm-hmm. So they've learned how to paint an image for the American people, and the old saying about you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, it becomes truth. And that's happened with so many issues over the last year. And unfortunately, because they've had victories as a result of building their campaigns on lies, that encourages them to do more and more of that. And, you know, Jim, you and I have talked about this for years and years and years. We've been on the side of saying, look, moral relativism will destroy the country. Yeah. Once you no longer believe in moral absolutes, when the truth does not matter and everybody has their own truth, you cannot hold a nation together on that. And that we're seeing the result of that philosophy now being played out in politics.
Friends, and again, in a short time, I'm going to provide you some numbers where you can call. The congressional offices are open right now. You can get through to your House member, your member of the Senate. Be ready to jot the numbers down. Rick, here's another statement from their press release. I just had to shake my head as I read this. They said this: Senate Republicans have politicized the Supreme Court, undermined its legitimacy, and threatened the rights of millions of Americans, especially people of color, women, and our immigrant communities. That's a head-scratcher.
Yes, you have to go. Now, what facts are they basing this on? Who has politicized the court? Who actually has a litmus test for their judges when they appoint them? The left always appoints judges that stay true to their leftist causes, the political causes, regardless of what the Constitution or the rule of law actually says. Republicans tend to appoint people that have the right philosophy of believing in original intent of the Constitution, but they don't have a litmus test, and then you usually see the Republican-appointed judges be the ones to run off the rails and go do things that Republican that appointed them would not have wanted them to do. So it's actually the opposite.
Right.
They manage to project onto the Republicans the very thing that they've been doing for years, and it just, again, boggles the mind how they could say that the court has been made racist by Republicans. Wait a minute. Clarence Thomas, black Supreme Court justice, who was he appointed by? Oh, yeah, a Republican. He happens to be the most conservative, the most constitutional judge on the court right now. He's the one I wish we could model all of our justices after. So how they could claim that the Republicans are the ones that are racist, it just makes no sense whatsoever.
Chairman Nadler says this: nine justices, chair of the Judiciary Committee, nine justices may have made sense in the 19th century when there were only nine circuits, and many of our most important federal laws covering everything from civil rights to antitrust, the internet, financial regulation, healthcare, immigration, white-collar crime simply did not exist and did not require adjudication by the Supreme Court. But the logic behind having only nine justices is much weaker today when there are 13 circuits.
You know, I mean, from a purely, like, what's efficient, what would work well for the court, the real problem is that the court shouldn't be dealing with all of those issues that he listed. They're outside of their authority and what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I will say, Jim, then this is, you know, this is a probably a pipe dream in and of itself, but I mean, I like the idea of having a larger Supreme Court so that appointment is not as important when one member's appointed. But you cannot hand four appointments to one president in order to change the philosophy of the court. That's a totally different strategy and tactic that they're actually implementing. I'd love to go to 50 Supreme Court justices over time and with different presidents being the ones to appoint those justices. So, yeah, again, you know, they're so good at this. I mean, I got to give props where props are due. They're so good at their rhetoric and using a little kernel of truth in order to then propagate their lies and get their agenda through. That they're masterful at it, and we've got to get better at countering it.
Here's another statement: to restore power to the people, we must expand the Supreme Court. Is that what the role of the Supreme Court is? Is to operate from the power of the people?
Yeah, I think they're very confused on which branch they're talking about here, right? The House of Representatives is supposed to be the place where the people are represented. They've already messed up in 1913, messed up the Constitution with the 17th Amendment and taken the U.S. Senate, which was supposed to represent the states, and made it another House of the People, and where we do direct elections instead of the legislatures choosing the Senate. Now they're calling the court a place that's going to represent the people. The court is supposed to represent the rule of law and represent the Constitution and defend those basic principles and apply the Constitution and apply the law to whatever facts come before them. But remember, these people are all about whatever it takes to get their agenda through. It's all about the results. The end justifies the means. It's a Machiavellian point of view. and again, a moral relativist point of view where the truth doesn't matter. It's what can they do to get their result.
Now, you warned about the filibuster issue here in, just a few minutes ago, but let me share again. From their press release, they say this. This legislation will restore the court's balance and public standing and begin to repair the damage done to our judiciary and democracy, and we should abolish the filibuster to ensure we can pass it. There, it's just hand in glove, this multi-prong agenda. Establish, they want to get rid of the Electoral College, they want to get rid of the filibuster, and now they want to get rid of the 9 justices on the Supreme Court.
And all you got to do is look at the same people. They're the exact same members of Congress, the president, the vice president, all of them. Their comments just 2 years ago or 4 years ago with regards to the filibuster. They're such hypocrites. These were the very people defending the filibuster as this great bastion of liberty and that it's what makes the Senate so wonderful and makes our process work so well and all the things they said when they wanted to keep it, and now they've completely reversed. And so, you know, it's that old thing about, are you lying to me now or were you lying to me then?
Yeah.
Their story changes depending on what the result is that they want. There's no integrity there. There's no there's no intellectual honesty there.
Friends, let me give you some phone numbers. I have a number here for the House switchboard. I have a number for the Senate switchboard and also a number for the White House comment line. You can call right now here during their regular business hours to the Senate. The number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. The House switchboard, 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And then to the White House comment line, it is 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. And Rick, if you were on the phone with your congressman right now, what would you be saying?
I'd be saying, look, your freedom is at stake right here, and you're about to strike a blow for fascism, for absolute total control by one party. And you have a chance here to say no. You have a chance to stand for truth. And Jim, I think there are Democrats that are willing to do that. It's not just, I mean, it's mostly Republicans fighting against this, but there are some Democrats like Joe Manchin and others that I think will say no to this if they hear from enough people, if they know that this is going to be so incredibly unpopular that it'll hurt the Democrat Party for decades to come, then I think they will stop this from happening.
I just heard you use a two-letter word. You said if they hear from the people, and that word if is what's so critical at this point.
That's right. That's right. This is where we, the people, have to let our voice be heard. You know, people sometimes feel like the system's too big. You can't make a difference. They're not going to listen. You have to let your voice be heard, even if it isn't going to change the outcome. It's part of our duty and our responsibility. But I can tell you that when they hear from enough people, it does change the outcome. They will recognize that this would be a dangerous political move for them. I realize that their motives are wrong. They're all about self-interest. It's what's going to keep me in office. Well, we need to let them know this will destroy your ability to stay in office because the people are not going to put up.
Friends, this was just introduced here last week, and there needs to be, in my opinion, a hue and cry in regard to this legislation that is being drafted and introduced into the House of Representatives, also introduced into the United States Senate. You've got the phone numbers there to let your view be heard. And also, friends, let's open our phone lines here to Crosstalk today. You can ask your questions, make your brief comments. Rick Green, our guest, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9828. Back in a minute here on the VCY America Network.
For 2,000 years, Christians have courageously faced beatings, stonings, torture, burnings, and every form of evil for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The book, Fox's Voice of the Martyrs, AD 33 to today, tells their story. This all-new edition includes the stories of more than 100 Christian martyrs not included in John Fox's original work. It includes heroes from the early church to the Reformation to the 21st century. Read about Nate Saint, Watchman Nee, and dozens of stories of 67 others who have stood faithfully to the death. Their courage in the face of Islamic groups, brutal dictatorships, and government crackdowns will inspire you to be a bold witness. This hardcover, soul-stirring book available from VCY for your donation of $20 or more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Eric Green is our guest here today on Crosstalk. And folks, last week, I mean, the big press release went out on April 15th, legislation introduced into the House of Representatives, also the Senate, to bring about court packing, to pack the court. They want to put in individuals to undo courts as we know them, the very legitimate means by which we brought this about. As a matter of fact, one of the statements that they made in their press conference said this: of all the damage Donald Trump did to our Constitution, this stands to be one of the greatest travesties. Well, we're addressing this issue here today on Crosstalk. If you missed the phone numbers, we'll be providing them a little bit later in the broadcast as well. But we're addressing this issue. And just before we pick up this first phone call, Rick, let me just, and you alluded to this early in the interview here today, when we consider Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, she is the liberal justice that liberals love to quote, but she indicated her opposition to court packing, and so has Justice Breyer, who has said, think long and hard about the risk.
Yeah, you know, when even those type of folks are saying this is a bad idea, it tells you how far out of touch these leftists are. And, you know, and even from just a fairness perspective, I think one of my favorite memes that's been floating around is basically said, you know, a baseball team was demanding that they could have four more players on the field now to even the score.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
That's essentially what you're saying, is that we're just going to keep adding players. And think about what it does, Jim, to future. I mean, every election, when a new party comes in, if power changes hands, with the president and the Congress, well, then we'll just add three more, or add two more, or add five more. I mean,
right.
Where does it stop?
Right.
You know, it's such a bad idea.
Well, the lines are packed here today on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with John calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. John, you're on the air.
Thank you. My question is, what the armed forces of the United States are doing to protect the Constitution? To my understanding, they take an oath to protect the Constitution of this country,
mm-hmm.
and they're not doing nothing. They're sleeping on a post. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it really comes back to this idea where we don't live under the Constitution in America anymore. So they're defending what they call the Courtstitution. So instead of the words on paper meaning something, it's always been the phrases of the last 50 years, it's been the phrases of the judges. It's been what they put in their opinions. That has become the law of the land, and that's why it's such a bad idea. It's what the founders said, you know, should not happen, that the court should stay in its lane, and that we wouldn't have. Alexander Hamilton said in the 78th Federalist, he said, you know, you never have to worry about liberty from being taken from the court. And he said, as long as it stays over in the court's lane and it doesn't get into legislative or executive lanes, we would be fine. But if it ever did that, he said, we would have everything to fear from the court. And so the Courtstitution, the words of the court, the opinions of these judges have become the law of the land instead of the Constitution itself. And that's what has to change. And that's why I always say it's not the number on the court that's most important. Now, it's important here because of how they're using the number on the court to enact policy. The most important thing is the underlying problem that has to be where we really change it, and that is the role of the court. What is the job of the United States Supreme Court? It is not to make policy. That's the job of our elected representatives. And we've got to put the court back in its proper box eventually.
Well, and I mean, think of John Adams, the former president, who said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And we have those that are now sitting in seats of authority, and I think of the House Judiciary Committee chair, who is anything but presenting a moral and religious authority for this land.
Yeah, man, you're so right, Jim. That's the difference in even the 1930s when FDR tried to do what they're trying to do right now, is that you had enough members of the Democrat Party that were still guided by principle, by truth, by that moral and religious foundation. Both parties had enough of a base that they made their decision on what was best for the country, not what was best for their party. And that is what has really changed in the last couple of decades, is just, again, this Machiavellian view of power and win at all cost. And, I mean, you see it in Republicans, too, but it dominates the Democrat Party right now. And there's just such a lack of morality. And, you know, I think back to the conventions where, you know, the Democrat conventions where they remove God from the pledge, where they remove any recognition of God, and they celebrate that. And that has its consequences. It has its effect, and we're seeing it now.
Troy is calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hello. My question is, does the Illuminati have their hand in this matter with the stacking of the courts? And because there is a card in the Illuminati, the card game, called Supreme Courts. I'm just wondering if this is just partaking, or if it's just like a beta test over the nation, over the United States right now, to see what happens.
Any thoughts, Rick? Any connection?
Well, I always tell people, look, I mean, there have always been and will always be smoke-filled rooms where powerful people try to control what's happening. And there's no doubt there are people like that. George Soros spends millions and hundreds of millions of dollars to influence our system. There are other billionaires that do the same. But let's remember that our system here in the United States, the only way that the power brokers and the people that want to control...
Hey, I'm sorry, Rick, we're kind of losing you. If you could talk right into the phone, please, sir.
Oh, sorry, I'm losing you there. The only way that those people have power is if we, the people, let them have power, if we advocate our authority. And so if we're involved, then yes, they can influence the system, but they can't control it, because that's the beauty of our Constitution and the beauty of our system is that we, the people, are ultimately in charge. But when we just go about our daily lives enjoying the blessings of liberty without participating, without bearing the burden of liberty as well, then absolutely there are powerful people that will control things, and they'll consolidate power. And we're actually seeing that in many ways with the big corporations, with a handful of politicians, with one-party rule in so many areas. But it all comes back to personal responsibility. We can't just talk about our rights. We have to talk about our responsibilities. And when we, the people, as individuals, get involved, we can put a stop to that nonsense and restore those principles. But it takes hard work. It takes work. It takes time. It takes money. It takes all those things. And we have to remember, you can't solve this stuff overnight. We're dealing with this whole court packing thing, all of this. This has been decades in the making. So they've been working hard, the left has, to get to this point. And they're enjoying the fruit of their labor for decades and decades of doing the local community organizing, all the things they've done, while we sat back and enjoyed our freedom without being willing to engage. So it's time for us to engage.
Thank you, Troy, for the call. Zach is next. Black River Falls, you're on the air.
So I just wanted to make a comment and say that I believe the Supreme Court and career politicians have been the biggest reasons why we've seen our country fall apart as of lately, or especially with like the rulings to abortion back in 1973 and gay marriage that was passed in 2015.
Yeah.
And I also just think it's disappointing that the Republican Party, when they have the chance to correct some of these mistakes, we've done nothing. We've let babies, 62 plus million babies, get slaughtered, and we've done nothing. It's just disappointing, makes me very sad that we watch this, and that yet when we elect people to correct this things that have happened, that have gone wrong, you know, nothing happens.
Thank you, Zach, for raising that issue. Rick, your response.
Yeah, I agree with almost everything Zach said, especially the part about the court being the real source of the loss of liberty. That's where all of those things have happened. They couldn't get it done legislatively. It's why they want to pack the court, because even some of their most radical moves, they don't think they can get done legislatively, but they've had great victories using the court to do those things. But one thing I take issue with Zach on is that and I totally agree with the failure of the Republican Party at the national level, without question, to not respond to these things. But at the state level, there have been great victories on the life issue and on many others. State legislators are outlawing abortion, and over the years, we've been chipping away at it with incremental steps that we could get through, and now you see huge strides in Arkansas and other states that are completely outlawing abortion. So I would say it's not that the Republican Party's done nothing, it's that the Republican Party hasn't done enough. And that the church, frankly, has not done enough. That's really where the failure ultimately has been, is that Christians have not engaged the culture. We've not been salt and light. If even 75% of Christians were registered to vote and actually voted their values, then we would change this thing over. I mean, it would be in one election we could turn the thing around. So there's a lot of failure to go around, but I do want to give a shout-out to those legislators that have been fighting for life and fighting for the Constitution and had great victories in their states.
Let's go next to Tom in Mitchell, South Dakota. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, for a lot of us out here, it's very frustrating, and we wonder what is the sense of even having an election when one party can flagrantly and publicly break all of the rules and not be held accountable. It almost seems like the court system has been shut down already by flagrant breaking of the law, and even Supreme Court justices that we trusted have turned to support agendas that are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
How do you encourage us out here that we should even care about voting or the next election when it's going to be just broken and nobody's going to do anything about it?
Thank you, Tom.
Yep.
Rick?
I think Tom's putting his finger on what most people are feeling right now. And when you see an election be stolen the way that it was in several of these states, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, I'm not even talking about fraud or machines. I'm talking about secretaries of state and governors changing the law unconstitutionally at the last minute to benefit one side over the other, and it changed the outcome of the election. And so when the American people witnessed that happening, and then the Supreme Court refused to take the case,
yes,
and basically say, that's okay, they're encouraging more and more of that to take place. So, Tom, your frustration is absolutely right. Now, here's what I would say to that and how to encourage people is watch what's happening in the states that are fixing that problem right now. It's not all of them, but look at what Georgia did. They didn't go as far as I think they should. I think we ought to be going to back to paper ballots myself,
mm-hmm.
but at least they locked up some of the voter ID and some of the, you know, guaranteeing and being able to object to absentee ballots that are fraudulent and all those things. Same thing's happening in some other states right now. Good legislation is being passed to tighten up the election security. We have to restore confidence in the elections, and that's going to take a while. That's not, again, not going to be an overnight thing. We're going to see how well these pieces of legislation that are getting passed in a lot of states right now, how effective that is in the 2022 elections. So I acknowledge what Tom feels. I felt the same thing. It's hard, but the system can be fixed in many of these areas. Look at what happened in Florida. Florida was a debacle years ago when it came to election fraud and all these things. Ron DeSantis and others went in there and said, enough is enough. We're cleaning this up. We're going to have ballot security. And there were no questions of fraud in Florida this last time. So it can be done. It can be fixed. It's going to take time. It will not happen overnight.
Let's go to Maxine in Prairie du Chien. You're on the air, Maxine.
Yes, hi. What was the number that we called this bill? Or the, you know, how do we refer this to our representatives?
You could actually refer to it as the court packing bill. I mean, that would take care of it. But the specific number in the House right now is H.R. 2584. But even referring to it as a Supreme Court packing bill, they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, great. And we just got done with a 3-day revival, and I think the answer is to pack the church.
Oh, yes. Instead of packing the court, let's pack the church.
That's so good.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so good. I'm borrowing that. I'm going to use that. Just want you to know.
Great. Thank you, Maxine. Appreciate it. Let me quickly give you these phone numbers before we take a break, and we'll come back with more of your phone calls. The Senate switchboard is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. The House is 225-3121, 225-3121, and the White House comment line is 202-456-1111. The question is, will they hear from America? 202-456-1111. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Free speech is under assault today, and this has led CEO Mike Lindell to develop a new social media platform that is all about free speech, a platform for free speech. But does that mean he'll allow anyone to come on his social media and broadcast platform and say whatever they want? The answer is no. Why? Will he thus then be doing what he's been complaining about, suppressing free speech? No. Because there is a limit to speech. You can't scream fire in a building. You can be sued if you libel or slander someone. You can't make terroristic threats. And, well, obscenity is not part of free speech. But in America, we have a real blessing. As we defend a Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, we're also defending a constitutional republic. Because William Blackstone, the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, said, whatever the divine has ruled on, we don't rule against. Therefore, abortion, gay marriage, and the such, the divine has ruled. Therefore, we don't promote it.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Court packing, a threat to the U.S. judicial system. Our topic today, Rick Green is with us, an attorney and constitutional expert, former state Texas rep, and founder of Patriot Academy and website constitutioncoach.com. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Constitutioncoach.com.
And folks, you can check it out there, constitutioncoach.com. Merle is calling from Tennessee. Hi, Merle. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. It's no wonder the barricades are still up around the White House once the American people realize that they have lost their country. Hmm. And this has all the markings of the Marxist Barack Obama, who said he is fundamentally going to change America.
Yeah.
And we can realize that they're not messing around. They're going for the jugular. And we're going to have to pray like we've never prayed.
Amen.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Merle. The power of prayer is so important here, Rick, and I know here on this, even this matter with President Biden has talked about, he has regular communication going on with former President Obama.
Yeah, that one statement is exactly, you know, they've done exactly what they said they were going to do. They fundamentally transformed the nation. We see it in so many different areas, and you know, I want to say to your listeners, it's easy to lose heart. And so you've got to go back to Scripture, and let's not forget what God told Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. It would be so easy to focus on any one of these areas where the left has gained ground, where they have transformed America, and become dismayed. And so that's why I keep coming back to the responsibility part of it. And also, you know, going, I should share, you know, John Quincy Adams' quote, duty is ours, results are God's. That's got to be our attitude here.
Amen.
We're going to do our duty and leave the results up to God. And that's not to say we won't win or that we can't win. I'm joyful. I'm courageous. You know, I think we have to be courageous, and that courage is contagious. But we don't do it, you know, only based on whether or not we get the results. We do it regardless of the results because it's the right thing to do. And if our focus is there and doing our duty, I do believe God will take care of the results.
Jason is calling from Dodgeville. Jason, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just calling, just wanting to know if I'm crazy or if do you think it's possible that the Democrats will push all this stuff through the House and get all their cards stacked, then all of a sudden find a way to end the filibuster and ram it through the Senate in a day or two or as quick as they could. Is that a likely scenario?
Jason, thank you for the call. I don't think you're going crazy at all because these are some of the threats that are coming for us, Rick.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all if that's their game plan. You know, remember they're politicians. Remember they're calculating. They're watching poll numbers. And they realize that if they push too far, that it'll wipe them out in the next election. However, sometimes they'll make the decision to say, we don't care because we know if we get the policy through, the Republicans will be too wimpy to reverse it when they get in office. You know, just think about Obamacare, right? I mean, we thought, wow, if they do that, that's so socialist. They won't win an election for 10 years. But because Republicans decided to just sign off on it and refuse to reverse it and just kind of became Democrat light in their responses, then it made it easy for the Democrats to stay in office and to come back and win elections. So we have to be an obvious opposition. We have to be a clear choice. We have to show why what they're doing is so bad that the American people need to throw them out of office. And that will, in some ways, cause them to back off. But if we don't stand up and speak truth, and I'm talking about not just Republicans, I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about every single one of us as citizens, if we don't stand up and speak truth and give that clear opposition, they are going to ram this stuff through. They'll not only ram it through, they'll ram it through and get reelected.
Hmm.
So it's incumbent upon us to be the loyal opposition.
Thank you for the call, Jason. Ed is next in Findlay, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be brief and get to the point, but seems to me, you know, with the way, when you first started your program today, you were talking about the court that just took place there, the verdicts. And I believe that he had a fair trial about the way
Ed, come right to the issue. We're down to just a couple minutes left in the program, please.
Okay. Well, this nation right now is on borrowed time. We've turned too far away from God.
Mm.
In this nation, and you know, the immorality is what destroys countries and great empires.
Yes.
Immorality, and you know, when you got same-sex marriage and all that stuff, you know, I knew what state of affairs this country was in when they made that a law, and then he was reelected anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you, Ed. Ed, you raise a great point, and we have gone too far. And Rick, the key word for all of this is repentance, is it not?
Amen. Amen. No doubt about it. I mean, look, if we don't face judgment at some point for the things we've done, then God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we have to turn from our wicked ways if we expect everything.
Yep.
To change. So that's why it's not just political solutions. There's got to be a revival in the land as well. This has to be an Ezra and Nehemiah type partnership, right, between the church and our state leaders as well. So we have to be leaders in the state bringing biblical values in that area. But as a church, we've got to speak truth that causes repentance.
Yes.
And causes and brings about revival. That's the real answer in the long term.
Ed, you're right on. Thank you for the call from Finley. Doug is next. West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Regarding this current plan to pack the court, we've gone through years of seeing the leftists take two steps forward and one step back, and I'm anticipating that our Speaker of the House will settle for 11 instead of 13. I think we need to be aware of that.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate that call. And this is where it's important, Rick, for people to be vigilant and for making those calls to their member of Congress. I mean, if their phones are ringing off the hook this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day, the message is going to get through. Don't touch this issue.
Yeah, no doubt. And, Doug, I appreciate your call, man. And as a fellow Texan from West Dallas, I grew up on the other side of Dallas and wide awake Wiley there. But anyway, appreciate your call. Appreciate your point, because that is that would be a very smooth strategy on their part to say, you know, start off with the 13 as a contrast and then back off, because I think that is all they need is two, because, again, I don't think Justice Roberts is a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So if they added two, they would have what they need. And Roberts is the type that would do what they did in the 1930s, where he just starts giving them the decisions that they want in order to try to, quote-unquote, save the court. What they called it in the 30s was a switch in time that saved nine. So there's a lot to be aware of there. Doug's got good discernment in what to watch for. And, Jim, your solution is right. It has to be don't touch this issue at all. No packing the court.
And, folks, you can get that message to your senators at 202-224-3121, to your House member at 202-225-3121, to the White House, 202-456-1111. Rick Green with us here today, ConstitutionCoach.com. Rick, thank you for carving out the time and informing our listeners on this critical issue.
Thanks, Jim. Always good to be with you. God bless you, man.
And you as well. Rick Green, our guest. And folks, the question is, will your voice be heard? Will your congressman hear from you this afternoon on this matter of court packing? Thanks for stopping by and joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.